This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This program contains topics that may be a trigger for some listeners. If you are affected, please call Switchboard or QLife 3pm to midnight daily on 1800 184 527 or Lifeline on 131114 24 hours a day.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
It is Family Matters. It's Thursday night. I'm here. I'm Beck and I'm with Gina and Clayton. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
You're a little overexcited then.
You are.
I was.
You are wearing fruit.
It's Thursday night Family Matters, Clayton. What other kind of way do you expect me to be?
Yeah, pretty much that.
Yeah, exactly. You know me.
Possible.
Yeah. Gina.
We've got a big show.
Cracker, my friend.
Is this on trend or is this sensational? Is this hyper or are we breaking
this
news?
I don't know. Hashtag information, hashtag knowledge, hashtag real news
real
on
news.
Our show, Gina.
Reality check.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Not reality TV.
No.
Which is what I would like to talk about. But nonetheless, Gina, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight, I don't even know how to put a name to it. Apparently it's the Ruddock report or some leak on a Ruddock report about religious freedom.
Ruddock's been leaking.
Someone's been leaking. Look, as we know, in the last 24, 48 hours, there have been some reports in the media which have gotten, I know certainly quite a few parents that have got their kids in Catholic schools from our community really worried and really concerned. So we're going to be covering the report and trying to make sense of it. We're not here to kind of give any more sensationalist kind of coverage to this. We just want to myth bust and just
the
understand
facts.
It, just the facts.
And talk about how people are feeling about it, how parents are
exactly.
feeling about it.
And teacher, look, you're a primary school teacher, Clayton.
Yes.
I'm a new parent looking at already having to put my child, apparently, on waiting lists for schools at 9 months of age.
And I'm a lapsed Catholic, so that gives me something, I'm sure.
Whose father was a principal.
That's right.
Of a school.
Me and Catholicism, we're distant friends. Anyway.
But we have somebody in the studio.
Who's looking at us like, what
what's,
I
what's happening?
For?
Yeah.
But we have actually, we're going to be speaking to a few guests tonight. We've speaking with Felicity Marlowe for Rainbow Families Victoria. The lovely Joe Hurst, who is a regular here, will also be joining us later tonight. But we thought, let's first understand the law, because everyone's talking about law.
Yay, the law.
You're a lawyer.
I love the law.
But all law's not the same, is it, Beck?
No, it's not,
it's
Gina.
Really not the same. So we have brought in the big guns. We've got Anna Brown, the Director of Legal Advocacy of the Human Rights Law Centre. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, everyone.
Yes, welcome to the family show here at Family Matters.
I feel honoured to be here.
Aw.
Thanks. Aw, thank you. Look, I was looking at your bio on the website, actually, and apparently you've got your fingerprints, yes, this is your words, on almost every major law reform for the LGBT people in the most recent years. How does that feel?
Well, it's been a lot of hard work.
A ton of hard work.
Yeah.
A lot of hard work.
But we're not done yet, so let the conversation continue.
Can I ask, I did see on your Twitter account that you're apparently on annual leave. You've been busy over the last 48 hours in the meeting.
I was on annual leave, but I've updated that. I think I've updated that, hopefully.
Because I was going to say, you're very good working, even on your leave. Now, this report. Beck, you're the law person. You know Roman
the
numerals.
The law person. Oh, yeah, that's how you become a lawyer. You know Roman numerals.
Is that that's
yeah,
the
that's
key.
Pretty much
that's
it, isn't it, Anna? That's how you get the degree.
Is that
and Latin.
Yeah.
Latin and Roman numerals.
Mm. Adjourned.
Wow.
Anyway.
Your Honour.
Look, Anna, we've heard a lot of snippets about this leaked report recently, and I think there's a lot of fear and people are concerned that, you know, children and teachers are going to be thrown out of schools left, right and centre and that this is something new and different that hasn't been around before. Can you tell us the situation? What is the current law when it comes to these sorts of issues?
Sure. Well, sadly, the current law is that religious schools can largely discriminate, not just against teachers, but also kids. They can deny them enrolment or they can expel them because of who they are or who they love. Although if you're a kid, you're probably not going to be in a relationship at a young age. But if a young child is exploring their sexuality or has gay parents, the law currently allows schools to, discriminate against them if it conforms with the beliefs of that organisation.
So if that's the law as it currently stands, what are we looking at in this leaked report? What's going to change?
It was actually quite extraordinary yesterday, but the leaked sections of the report revealed a couple of ideas from the panel which actually would improve the situation somewhat. That said, and I'll go to that in a minute, but that said, there is a risk that there are some states and territories that don't have these laws, that don't have exemptions for religious schools to allow them to sack teachers or refuse gay kids. And there's a question mark over whether the federal government would try and override those better state laws with a worse law federally. So that's sort of a live question that's in the balance. But the proposals yesterday, really, as I read them, were this idea that schools should publish a policy about their position on, you know, whether they would accept students of a particular background.
Transparency.
I've been arguing for a long time that if we're going to put up these horrible exemptions in the law for religious organisations, then at least we need to know about them. Mm. And at least whether you're a consumer or a potential employee, you can make an informed decision about whether to apply for that job, go into that shop, or whatever the case may be. So that's sort of increases the level of fairness, I think, in the whole process. So that proposal in itself is actually, I think, an improvement. I mean, it doesn't go all the way to removing the exemption, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. And the way I read the rest of the article, and again, we don't know the detail of the report, is that it seemed to be suggesting that there'd be some allowance made for discrimination in enrolment, but once the kid was in a school that they would be protected from discrimination. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's actually the case, and that's a big sort of qualification, then that would be a big improvement, because currently in Victoria, you can be discriminated against as a child in a school when you're there as well as when you want to go there. So this would be, again, a step in the right direction. So that was what was pretty extraordinary about yesterday, is that there was a lot of reporting of this as a new move. But what I think that shows is the level of disjunct between current society attitudes and what the law actually is. So, I mean, I think I share everyone's horror that these exemptions exist and that kids can be discriminated against in school. And
it can change across the states.
Yeah.
And this is the thing I saw across a lot of parenting forums yesterday, especially from Rainbow Parents, where parents that have their kids in Catholic school now were freaking out, going, oh, my God, is this something new? Because, one, it's not part of the information pack as a parent. Here's your fees and here's what you can't and can be. Mm. So people were freaking out because their experiences weren't that. That's not their lived experience from when they were students there, from when they've had other kids attend there. So people were freaking out. And then it was like this was new information, because a lot of these people were from Victoria, going, what do you mean this has always been in place? So it's kind of like, are people hiding something from us? So that's... Is it good that people are now aware that...
Yeah, I think it is a really good step that people are aware of what the law is and how out of touch it is with community attitudes. So that means we're in a position to change it. As an advocate, you know, that's the first step, awareness, and then you can actually build consensus for change. I think it's a good point you make about the lived experience of many... I'm sure there's loads of parents and kids in religious schools having a pretty uncontroversial time of things. But sadly, we do know of cases where gay students have been expelled, where trans students have faced incredible problems in religious settings. I'm not saying it happens everywhere, but we know that it happens enough for it to be a problem. When we know LGBT kids need support when they're in school, it's a dangerous place for them. They can suffer bullying, and we all know the health statistics that mean this is a problem we should be taking seriously.
Mm. Well, that's the thing that really strikes me, is the vulnerability of these kids anyway is... Like, let's just amplify that. And then I sort of had this thought. I was like, okay, so if I'm a school, do I decide now I'm going to walk around in the playground and say, excuse me, can all the gay kids please put up their hand? You know,
I'm just going to check out softball tryouts.
And if I'm a, you know, 12, 13-year-old kid who's not quite sure where I'm at with myself, imagine how vulnerable you would feel in that situation.
I mean, these kids may or may not have supportive parents at home. For kids that don't have supportive parents, school is often the place you can go to for that alternative support and, you know, someone to turn to explore those feelings that, you know, you may not be able to talk about at home.
Do the current laws discriminate against anybody besides LGBTI people?
Yes, they do. And what was interesting about what was leaked from the report is that it was proposing to remove some of those areas of discrimination. So it was proposing to take pregnancy out. So currently you can discriminate against children or young people if they're pregnant, and also intersex people. But what the justification of removing intersex people is that there's no religious doctrine that would justify discrimination against intersex people. But sort of bittersweet for trans and same-sex attracted people to still be in, you know, we've thought about it and we still think you should be discriminated against.
That's right. Yeah. Like, we're doubly sure now,
And that's the hard thing for, and again, looking at some of the comments from rainbow parents, and I know for myself, I can't believe that I'm having to look at schools already for a nine-month-old, but, you know, according to Mother's Group, I'm really late at doing this. But we know some parents, there might not be a choice of schools, depending on where they live. The choice of school, the better school might be the Catholic school down the road. That might be the only school. And if this can also discriminate against rainbow parents, it also makes an assumption that queer people are not of faith.
Exactly.
You know, I'm someone who's Greek Orthodox. There isn't a Greek Orthodox school that I could or would send my child to. But it makes this assumption that I'm not a person of faith who wouldn't want to raise my child that way.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I think that's a point really well made. We have so many LGBT people of faith that would like to raise their children in accordance with their religious teachings. So where's the space for them? And, I mean, I'm sure there's some religious schools that are accepting and affirming, but we need to make sure the law can actually raise to the challenge of making everyone feel a part of a school community.
So presently, some of the state laws and the federal law are in conflict. They don't sort of marry up very well. What would happen if somebody challenged those and said, would the federal law overrule the state ones, or...?
Well, I mean, these are complex legal questions.
I'm sorry.
But generally, when you think about discrimination law, it's just easiest to think about being able to make a complaint, and there's different options. So when at the moment we have different federal anti-discrimination laws and then a bunch of state anti-discrimination laws, and what they really do is provide choice, and you can decide which legal regime is better for your client or for you when you're bringing a complaint. And once you choose one road, you can't choose the other. So it's an important question whether you decide to use the Federal Sex Discrimination Act or the Victorian Equal Opportunity Act if you're in Victoria, for example. So once you go along a particular path, that path determines which defences are available to a respondent. And in this case, it would be the religious exemption that's available to the religious school in that jurisdiction. So, the issue of conflict of laws doesn't arise so much where you have two different complaints regimes that can actually sit together and have different tests and defences available in them, if that makes sense at all.
Mm. Totally. I think you did very well at answering a question apparently asked was complex. So,
well, look, with what you've already seen in this space, what will you be doing in light of what you think might be coming out of this report? And that's the thing, we haven't seen this full report.
So at the Human Rights Law Centre, but also the Equality Campaign, which I'm the co-chair of, which was the Yes campaign, we're doing a bunch of different things. We just had a big sort of community call of different LGBTI organisations to work out what are people doing around the country, how can people coordinate their responses. And it was basically sort of sharing information. We're also going to be putting out a call for people to tell their stories of the problems they've had at school and taking those stories to Parliament next week. So I'll be in Canberra next week talking to politicians, anyone that will listen, about the issues faced by LGBTIQ kids in schools, and indeed teachers and employees and workers and anyone accessing sort of critical government services, because these religious exemptions apply sort of across the board and need to be wound back.
And that's the thing, I've seen the argument, people are like, oh, just remove all their, you know, government funding, but that doesn't solve the core issue of kids in these schools who are vulnerable. Yes, remove their funding, they've still got money, they've still got funding, they're still going to operate. That does not solve the cause.
And you're really only harming kids in that case.
Exactly. So it's not. Look, because now people are aware that these laws exist, if someone feels that they have been discriminated against, a teacher or a student or a parent, what are the best steps for them to actually take?
Sure. Well, as a lawyer, I would obviously, but it's really important that people get good advice because of that issue I mentioned earlier about choice of jurisdiction. Mm. So you might be tempted to make a complaint straight away to the Victorian Equal Opportunity Commission because you know that that's an option available to you. But actually, once you choose that route, you're cutting off the federal complaint system.
Oh, okay.
So I'd put in a plug for Victoria Legal Aid because we're in Victoria. They have a fantastic equality law program and some really great lawyers, including Amy Cooper, who is on the board of Minus 18, and she came and worked on secondment at the Human Rights Law Centre with me. She's fantastic, and I hope she doesn't get inundated with queries after this call.
Amy?
But
don't go on leave.
There's a free legal service there, and even if you don't qualify for legal aid, they will sit down with you and give you an hour and make and help you through whether you have merit to your complaint. But the problem is, as a community that experiences discrimination, often you don't have the emotional resources to actually take on these challenges, and that's why it's so important that we make sure we try and prevent this stuff from happening in the first place. We don't want to have these fights. We want to make sure that everyone's actually providing inclusive services for our community.
Look, any advice for people that have just seen these headlines in the last couple of days or day? What do you recommend people do? Just hang on for a sec?
Maybe? Yeah, I think just, you know, the report isn't out yet. The bits we've seen, as I've talked about, some of the aspects are actually positive signs and positive steps. We'll, of course, have to wait to see the detail. Yeah. And you can be certain that there's people out there in the community, you know, talking to politicians, advocating really hard for the best outcomes for LGBTI people. So we'll be talking to the community, getting the word out there, sharing stories, advocating in the media, but also making sure that we're doing everything we can over the next few months to, I think we have to admit it is a threat. We have to recognise that it's a threat, but we certainly have a lot of allies in Parliament too, and allies out there in the community, thanks to everyone that stood up for marriage equality last year. So let's not forget that Australians said yes to fairness and equality last year. They didn't say yes to more discrimination. Yeah. So we've got a lot to work with and a lot to be really optimistic and positive about the next few months.
That's pretty awesome. Look, thank you so much, Anna, for coming in. Looking at the work you've done over the last decade almost, we know we're in good hands. We know we're in absolutely great hands. So we do take that seriously, that you are out there working. Up next, we also spoke with Felicity Marlowe earlier today from Rainbow Families Victoria to just give us some feedback on what they're doing in this space and how families are responding. You are on Family Matters here on Joy 94.9.
The life issues that, well, matter. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
This program contains topics that may be a trigger for some listeners. If you are affected, please call Switchboard or QLife 3 p.m. to midnight daily on 1800 184 527 or Lifeline on 131114 24 hours a day.
Felicity, we've just seen in the last 24 to 48 hours the leaked Ruddock Religious Freedom Review come out. It's caused quite a stir and quite a stir in the Rainbow Family community as well. Can you give us your insights on what you've been seeing in the last 24 to 48 hours?
Sure, thanks, Gina. So I guess what is of concern is it's really only a couple of recommendations and kind of a bit of an inkling of a report. So unfortunately, that incomplete kind of information has really fueled a lot of speculation and rumour and potentially a lot of damaging misinformation about what actually is going to happen or what is actually being proposed. So I guess from our Rainbow Families Victoria's point of view, we've fielded quite a few calls from families who are just a bit concerned about, well, what does this mean for my child in my Catholic school if their parents are queer? If we get married, is this going to have an impact on their enrolment at their, you know, their local Christian school? And at this point in time, we don't have the answers for everybody in terms of the impact on their children. But we do already know that in Victoria we have religious exemptions and exceptions. So it's a little bit like re-educating everyone around what exactly does exist in Victoria and what might the impact of some of the federal proposals look like if they were overriding state law, which we don't know if that's the case, or if they did change perhaps some of the issues that we do already have covered in Victoria. So it's just a lot of unknowns, I think, unfortunately.
I've been online on some of the parenting forums and the anxiety has risen. And it is usually from parents who have got their kids in schools now, in Catholic schools now, that have not experienced any discrimination thus far or are looking, because, you know, now's the time that we're looking to put our kids into school next year or maybe change schools. So those conversations are already taking place. People are really anxious about this. And people are also surprised that these laws exist already, like in Victoria, in New South Wales. This can already happen. So people are quite shocked to be discovering this as if for the first time. What, from Rainbow Families Victoria point of view, what are you all doing to get kind of, I mean, we need to see the report, don't we? We don't know what to do yet.
Yeah. Look, I think you're absolutely right. Like, to alleviate the feelings of panic and the kind of rumour mongering that goes on, and that is totally fueled by a media desperate for the best story, the newest story, the exclusive, we really need this government just to release the report. They've had it since May. It's been months. Now that it's leaked, clearly there's journos and the press gallery at Canberra obviously have it. Parliament resumes next week. There's only five more sitting weeks for this year. If they're going to act, you know, we could probably all guess potentially where this might lead. But what we really need, just to alleviate the kind of panic that's going on and to stop the speculation, is to see the report. And then we can start to have a really good clarifying discussion, not just within the LGBTIQ communities, but in engaging with our allies, in engaging with the teachers and schools that we already have our kids in, the schools and workplaces we work in, and really get some proper responses, and I guess then organise as well as a community about what we need to do to stop any sort of further discrimination becoming entrenched in our community.
Fliss, you know, Rainbow Families Victoria were one of the organisations that got to contribute to this review. Would you be a bit pissed off to think that, okay, media has seen it, but those that participated willingly, helpfully, have not had a chance to see this?
Yeah. Well, look, that's pretty much exactly what we wrote today to the Prime Minister. And, you know, our perspective from Rainbow Families Victoria is, please just release the report so we can all have a really good, detailed, informed debate and discussion. Yeah. And we said, look, as Rainbow Families Victoria, we contributed in good faith over summer. We wrote our submission to the inquiry, even though we were still coming off the back of a very long and tiring postal survey. We took it quite seriously to respond to their inquiry. We were invited to attend the public hearing in Melbourne, which we attended with the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby and Thorn Harbour Health, which was then VAC. And so we had that opportunity to present. We spent time talking to our community about the impact and concerns they had. We surveyed our community. We put a lot of detail into our submission. And we just feel like now, you know, leaks are all very well and good, but we really need to see the proper report and the recommendations. It was, it's been another, you know, it's very hard to think that we're going to have another couple of months mirroring the kind of public debate we had into our lives and relationships and families from 2017. So let's just, if it's there, let's just have it, let's be able to read it, and then let's enter into any kind of advocacy work we need to do with this government around what we would like to see.
And that's the thing. This is not the marriage equality anniversary we want to be, you know, this is not an anniversary worth celebrating. We don't want those traumatic headlines again in the media and that news babble and talkback radio.
Yeah,
it's so harmful.
That's right.
We don't want to go back
and
there.
And in fact, yeah, you're absolutely right. And in some ways it's the, you know, it's the one-off headline that said gay pupils could be rejected or it's the, you know, the top of the hour quick soundbite that a young person hears on the radio before their parent gets to turn it off, you know, on the drive to school, or it's the sort of casual comments that kids and young people overhear at school or their own communities. But that's all they hear. They don't necessarily go back and read all the reports and get to find out that things have been misreported or follow a legislative debate in Parliament. So to just have the damage done by seeing one headline or overhearing one talkback radio banter is really problematic and concerning. And that's the concern for me, that kind of stigma that's perpetuated by this kind of thing just being floating out in the ether. Yeah, it is really concerning, and I do think we need to take some responsibility for addressing that and putting a stop to it. And we'd really like the government to put a stop to it and just release the report.
Felicity, this is Clayton. Have you heard anything kids have said about any of this at all?
No, and I guess we've kind of not wanted to go there in terms of pushing our families too much to have those conversations, and we haven't actually asked them to report that to us at this point in time. What we have done today is write to the Prime Minister and urge him to release the report. But on our Facebook, Rainbow Families Victoria Facebook, we've also put a call to action to encourage people to call or write to their MP and their senators in their states just to say, these are the concerns I have. These are all the questions that I've got that need answers. This is a little bit about my story. And to tell the story, if you're a teacher in a Catholic or religious school, if you are a family, you know, who's part of the queer community, but also part of the faith community, you know, what your concerns are about what this might mean. If you've got children in schools that you're worried that, you know, if their parent transitions, are they going to get kicked out? So all of those little stories are actually what we need our politicians to hear. So we've put a call out on our Facebook page to encourage people to share them in the next couple of days. All federal MPs and senators go back to Canberra next week, and they need to go feeling like they've got a list of questions that need answering, and they're our advocates, I guess, now to take it to that federal stage and to say we need to see the report. So, you know, we may get some people sending those to us and finding out what the kids are saying, but we're just not really wanting to push people on sharing those things, or even having that conversation with their kids. You know, we need to protect them to some degree.
Well, Fliss, we have definitely shared that top five list I saw on our Facebook page as well, and I love that. That's also, again, a call to our allies to be doing this for us. We can't just do this work ourselves. We do need our allies to step up in this space. Yes,
we do. We do. And look, next Thursday there's another opportunity for our allies to step up. We've called a community meeting with our friends from other organisations like Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby and Transgender Victoria, and that's part of a new group that we'll talk about later, which is the Education Equality Alliance, which is really just looking at what would a really inclusive, welcoming and respectful education system from early childhood up to year 12 look like in Victoria. And this is an opportunity, I guess, for that alliance of advocates and individuals and teachers to sort of say, let's open up an opportunity to the community to talk about this Ruddock report leaks. So that's next week at 6:30. And if you look under Education Equality Alliance on Facebook, you'll find the event listing there.
I will happily share that one as well. Felicity, thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you've been, but we do appreciate you giving us again some common sense when it comes to this. I don't even know the word for it at the moment. This kind of
misleading headlines.
Misleading headline, all that sort of shock factor. Thank you, Felicity. Thank you so much for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
You are on Family Matters here on Joy 94.9. Jam-packed show thus far.
No, just everything's happening.
Everything's happening.
We have people in the studio we weren't expecting. I know. It's great. Beck, you've had a love message.
I have a love message. It says, back-to-back nights, Beck, go you, love the bench debut. Great to have a sports show on Joy from Tyson.
Aww.
So not to hijack this show, but the bench every Wednesday night on Joy at 7 p.m. with me and Dave talking about summer sport.
Can I be – I'm actually excited because I love some of those tennis and all those summer sports. Yeah. They're the kind of sports I follow.
Last night we did basketball, Gina.
I know. It was one of the Opals we're on.
That's right.
I follow women's.
You.
Yeah.
Is basketball the same as football?
I don't know football, but
in a way.
Yes.
Okay. In that they both have balls, Clayton. Yes.
Okay, well. It's one of my favourite things. We are talking about semi-serious things tonight, which, you know, sometimes we do. And we're talking about this Ruddock report, which has kind of got the internet and probably other things in a bit of a whirl.
Flurry?
Yeah. So we've got three different point of views here because we've got myself as the teacher, you as the parent, and Beck as the lawyer.
And a person with many opinions on
things. And an open opinion. No. So I am thinking, this is my feeling, is that people, and I think Anna kind of touched on this, that we're kind of just overreacting at this point. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't be worried. It just means that we should actually have more information before we sort of go forward and rally, I suppose.
For me, it was the sense, look, when we all saw those headlines in the newspapers basically yesterday, I know when I saw that, I was kind of like, oh, I was aware that teachers can be discriminated against. I was surprised about students in Victoria. That one actually surprised me. I wasn't aware of that. But for me, it was seeing these headlines, it just takes me back to a year ago. Headlines that are really not helpful for you know, people at risk to be reading those kind of sensationalist headlines. Mm-hmm. Yes, we need to know this information as it leaks, but done in maybe a certain way. And look, you can never convince a journalist to do it in a way that's not going to sell a story.
It's terrible headlines.
Terrible headlines.
And I think the other thing, and Anna sort of touched on this too, is that, you know, the LGBTI community, particularly recently, particularly given last year and the debate and all that terrible stuff that went on, it's a community on alert, and it's a community that has felt under attack. And so I think that, to me, as someone from outside the community, gives me a real, because, you know, my first reaction as a lawyer who likes facts is, well, let's deal in the facts. But I look at it and I go, hang on, this is a community that's no doubt felt like everyone's against them, and it's just one more thing that's really hurtful. Of course you're going to get excited about it.
Those scars from the marriage equality debate are still healing. They definitely need some salve just to help them heal. And this is kind of pouring a huge amount of salt on the wounds. Yep. And I think, you know, media needs to take some responsibility for
huge
that.
Huge responsibility. And especially because the community that were thrown under the bus during the campaign were rainbow families. They were trans and gender diverse kids. That was the area of the community that are again now feeling like they're under attack again. And for me, it is that we always know there's some underpinning political scoring for some by-election or something else. And, you know, why was it leaked? Why was it leaked a certain way? And who leaked it and why? You know, there always seems to be somebody else's agenda, and it's never done in a kind way. None of this, you know, information. There was over 15,000 submissions to this report. Yes, we're all wondering, they've had it since May, what are they waiting on, which makes us suspicious. We need to see it. We need to see the report. As Felicity says, you need to be writing to your local member and saying, what's it today? Give us a report. Let us know the facts.
And maybe they're distracting us with more worse to come.
Exactly.
The other thing, I guess positives are right. We're at a positive thing, and again, picking up on something Anna touched on, which is that one good thing that happened around that debate was that it really mobilised the ally community, because I think a lot of people who were not proud to stand up and be allies or did not feel that they needed to or that they should, because of that campaign, went, hang on a minute, like, there's a job I have to do here. And I'm hopeful that those people that stood by the community in that campaign, when these sorts of things happen, because they've sort of, you know, outed themselves as allies already, are going to keep doing that.
There's National Coming Out Day, and it's okay to come out as an ally.
That's right. I'm going to make a badge. But you know what I mean? I think there is a sense that there is, the 40% odd people who voted no, don't get me started on them. But if you look at the 60 odd percent that did, this is another really important time for those allies to stand up as well.
A news.com.au survey was run yesterday, and they asked the question about should schools be able to discriminate against LGBTI kids, and it was 78% said no and 22% said yes.
And hence why people are reacting when they are figuring out, what do you mean these laws already exist? So it's almost good that people now know, oh, hang on, we can't get upset at something we already have. How do we go at fixing it?
I wonder whether if that survey had been done before last year, whether the outcome would have been different.
No, let's do time travel.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think when you're kind of going, oh, should we discriminate against kids for any reason, people are going to go, are you mad? And then they go, what do you mean we are? Look, we are going to jump very quickly to something a bit brighter.
Just to lift the mood a little.
Just to lift the mood before our next interview. Tell us about it, Clayton.
Well, Jason Derulo is going to get with the Sesame Street peeps and tell us about dancing.
Jason Derulo.
Oh, don't do that. I hate that.
Family Matters is brought to you today by the letters LGBTIQA and the number one.
That's my favourite tag.
This is Family Matters. I'm Beck and I'm here with Gina and Clayton. We are rummaging our way through this leak of the Ruddock report and all that it means and doesn't mean and what may and may not happen. But we've got another wonderful guest joining us to talk about it. She is the author of The Gender Fairy. She is one of the world's greatest advocates for trans kids and she is a wonderful friend of our show. Her name is Jo Hurst. Welcome to the show, Jo.
Oh, thank you. What a beautiful welcome. Thanks, Beck.
No worries. You can record that and play it to yourself when you're having a bad day.
Oh, that can be my feel-good moment every day. Thank you.
Excellent. How are you feeling about all this, Jo? Where's it sitting with you?
It's a little bit stressful. Obviously, we have to wait and see how it all turns out in the wash, so to speak. But, of course, it's making myself and other parents very, very anxious. All we want is for our children to be comfortable and safe at school, and that's what every other parent wants too. But when your child is LGBT, that's not always a guarantee.
And look, one of the things we often talk about and, you know, we worry about, and one of the things you advocate for trans kids is about school being a safe and welcoming place for them. And I assume that this is just one more thing that, you know, can cause more worry on top of a whole lot of other things that can happen in schools.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess this is an extra worry that parents of transgender children have, is that they won't be accepted at school. And I think acceptance comes from the principal down. And most schools want to be really, really accepting. And most principals are great and they just want to know how to go about accepting our children. And I think if it was left up to schools and education departments, I think our kids would be in safer hands than if it was left up to government policies, quite frankly.
I mean, is that the experience of parents that you talk to, Jo, who have kids in religious schools, that it's generally a positive experience or mixed?
I think it varies greatly. There are some religious schools who do an absolutely amazing job of supporting our children. They want to know how to do it appropriately. They want to know how to do it in the best way. But they're coming from a place of love and compassion and acceptance. And that's all anyone can ask for. So I think there's a lot of religious schools out there doing a really, really fantastic job. In fact, I'd say the majority of them. But of course, there's always some that are not.
We actually had a whole lot of Catholic schools and religious schools sign up for the Respectful Relationships program. So that was really good to see, because that does deal with, apart from family violence, it deals with LGBTI issues as well. So they are getting on board in certain ways anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the Catholic schools have their own sort of version of safe schools now, which is really great to see. So I think everyone in the school education system is trying to find a way to support trans kids, because they know that's what's best for them, which is really great to see.
What are the parents you're talking to concerned about, Jo?
I think they're concerned about what's going on in the media and that children are being weaponized in political arguments. I think that's their main concern. So when we have an election coming up, I think we all want to just hide under the blanket until the election's over, because trans kids aren't very well understood, so it's very easy to politicise them and use them as a weapon to try and scare people. And it really, I think that's really unfair, because trans kids are just like any other kid who want to go to school, be themselves, get on with learning and get on with playing with their friends.
And there's probably enough worry with an election next month for the for in this state, which is quite forward thinking in its application of trans issues. And so is that causing people angst as well?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I think that trans kids and education have very much been made part of the agenda in the Victorian election, certainly on social media as well. I think there's a lot of misinformation going around on social media by some anti-trans lobbyists, and that's because of the Victorian election coming up. So particularly in Victoria, it's a really, really bad time for trans kids and their families. And it's really sad to see, because what happens is that the families of the parents and the relatives of our parents are reading some of this and getting really concerned when they see some of this misinformation. So it's causing friction within families and friendship groups. So very distressing.
Joe, speaking of social media, sometimes it does a very good thing. And one of my favourite posts I've been following, which I think is wrapping up, was your invitation to a ScoMo for a cup of tea and a bit of education on some wonderful literary titles. Do you want to talk us through that? Did anyone get in touch and take up that offer?
I am still waiting for the Prime Minister to get in touch and say, come and have a cup of tea, Joe. Let's talk this through. I think that would be great. So basically, I was a
beautiful
thing.
Yeah, it was
very
gorgeous.
Impulsive. I decided to tweet him every day a new book recommendation to help us let kids be kids,
yeah,
because there are so many great books out there that help us do this. So I tweeted a wide variety of books, one each day, and often linked it to some really good research and evidence and facts that could help him through as well.
Yeah.
And there was things like, obviously, some were picture books for kids, but others were academic books about transgender people and education, some written by some amazing trans people out there telling their stories about their own childhood as well. So books by world-renowned experts. So it's really quite a good variety of books in there, I think.
Well, that's
so
the thing. It was a great education. If anyone just follows the trial, if you are wanting to, you know, write a thesis or just do some very good reading. I mean, school holidays have passed, but if you've got some reading time coming up, I'd go back and just go through your prose because it was fantastic.
Oh, it's a great list.
It's absolutely great list.
The thing is, it's an inexhaustible list and I could have gone on forever, but I just don't have time to tweet that every day. But so obviously the list could have been longer. But I think it's really good, 24 books in there if you want to go and have a look.
Well, that's the thing. And sometimes we're kind of like, oh, do we have enough books? Do we have enough cover? That's why I was so excited to see it, because it was a great list to be sharing. The other thing I know I'd like to be encouraging people to do is go get their T-shirt or tote bag from the Gender Whisperers. So they're another great organisation, aren't they?
Isn't that fantastic?
How cool are they?
Mine in the mail today. I haven't tried it on yet, but I got mine in the mail today. I'm really excited. I'm going to try it on and take a photo.
Did you get a T-shirt? Because I've seen the hoodie. I'm thinking of the grey hoodie.
Oh, well, I was going to get a tote bag, but I decided on a T-shirt. It says Gender Whisperers. In my Facebook feed, I've seen so many people wearing them, I thought I've got to get one.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
So I got one. It looks fantastic. I thought, how can I not?
Maybe you could buy one for the Prime Minister, Joe, and send it to him.
I think that's a fabulous idea.
I think
idea.
We all should.
Along with a copy of my books. I think I'll do that.
Oh, well, shameless plug.
and an edit of our interview with Michelle Telfer as well, which Clayton yourself were a part of.
I missed that interview into one of the book recommendations, probably the Gender Fairy, I can't remember. But it's so relevant.
It is. Well, that's the thing. I've enjoyed resharing it to people because it's like, well, you want to talk facts, here you go. Mm. Come back, listen to this and come back and speak to us kind of thing. But look,
listen to this actual expert.
Yeah, that, you know, world-renowned research that's been peer-reviewed. Hey, you know, if you want facts, you know.
And she was an amazing interview.
Amazing. That was an amazing interview.
Wasn't she? Yeah.
Well, my advice is to people out there who are seeing this is to kind of, look, let's wait till we get all the information. Jump online and buy a Gender Whisperer T-shirt, tote bag, mug. Apparently there's mugs now.
Redbubble. You can get them at Redbubble.
Exactly.
And stickers, apparently.
Oh, stickers. What I love about it, though, as much as I'm not just plugging these anonymous activists out there, what they're doing is actually the money and the profits are going to Why Gender, Queer Space and Parents of Gender Diverse Children. So that's why I like to keep plugging that one each week. I think that's fantastic.
It's all good.
Absolutely.
I think we can get away with that.
I think it's great. Can I just put it out there? It's not me. It's nothing to do with me. I'll plug it as well. Fantastic.
But something that is to do with you, Joe, is in a couple of weeks, you're one of the finalists for the Globe Community Awards Straight Ally of the Year. So we just wanted to send you our best wishes.
Mama Joe.
I can't believe it. Can you believe it?
I know.
I can.
Yeah, we can, actually.
As a previous finalist of the award myself,
any
Joe,
tips?
I feel like we're in a...
I know.
And a previous Globe winner.
Okay, I'm the only one here who is like just letting the team down.
Mm. Joe, what I did last year, which ended up coming in handy after I did lose out to the fabulous Michelle Telfer. I mean, if you're going to lose, that's the person to lose to. But I had
I need some loser's tips, Beck. Help me out here.
Well, I practiced my Academy Award gracious loser face in the mirror before I went.
So I'm going to be. Can you teach me? I need to be practicing.
I'll show you on the night, but it's basically a nod and a partially closed eye, because otherwise people look at you and you'll be like, what? She what? And you don't want that, Joe. So that's my advice to you.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to be taking your tips on the night, Beck.
No, but you won't need it because you're going to win.
You are. My money's on you. Not that I endorse betting at any. I'm not on the sports show here. We're on Family Matters. Joe, thank you so much for your time. Take care of your beautiful babies. I think all of us just need to get the facts and hopefully the media behave themselves. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Joe. Cheers.
Bye.
Family Matters is brought to you today by the letters LGBTIQA and the number 1.
Family Matters, Beck, Gina and Clayton, we are nearly at the end of our show of what's been amazing. We've been talking about what's been all the news really for the last 24 hours. Which is the leaked report and really specifically the issue of religious exemptions and discrimination in schools. But we've had some wonderful guests. We've had Anna Brown, the Director of Legal Advocacy at the Human Rights Law Centre, who was fabulous in just giving us some legal facts, which I loved. And then we've had Felicity Marlow from Rainbow Families and Joe Hurst, who are both amazing parents and advocates and, you know, do wonderful things for Rainbow Families. So good to have their perspective as well.
Great to have their perspective. We were just saying while we were listening to the sponsorship announcements, Joe was kind of saying that unfortunately trans kids are targets because people don't understand. The Australian Children Television Foundation for International Day of the Girl, you can actually go onto their website and download First Day if you haven't seen it.
It's fabulous.
It's a fabulous, you know, this is about a kid in school transitioning and it's a short film. Go watch it. It's doing so well overseas at
the
awards.
And I think great for kids and adults. Like, it just tells a really important story really understandably and really empathetically.
So highly recommend if you're wanting.
Stars.
Yeah, look, jump on the. Yeah, so that's the Australian Children Television Foundation website. Click on their link. You'll find it really easily. Yeah.
Really quickly, I wanted to end on a more positive note around being gay and a teacher in schools.
That's what you are.
I am those things in a school. Actually, not schools, but still, I have always been out to the teachers at my school, pretty much from the first, not from the first day necessarily, and I didn't necessarily go just walk and go, hi, gay, but I sort of just, you know, make comments on, oh, that guy's pretty hot and things like that.
That'll
so just
do it.
Yeah, those sort of things. I just give that message without having to, you know, wear a feather boa. I've had that for a long time. I cut that out when I was living in Hong Kong because of different laws, but recently I wrote a bio for myself to put into the staff newsletter and just to sort of give that message and, you know, tell them about myself. And then somebody came up to me and said, oh, is it okay if we publish that in the newsletter because we published all the other teachers? And I went, it's fine by me, but you might just want to run that by leadership because the whole section's where it says my male partner and things like that and work at Joy and all those sort of things. And yeah, they basically decided that, well, if they published every other teacher, it would be wrong not to publish mine.
Fabulous.
So that's gone into the newsletter and I have not had a single parent or student comment. So
not even to ask for your autograph.
No. I do have a slight theory no one read it, but
there's that possibility.
Yeah. But I certainly have changed the way I talk and I do talk about my partner instead of my housemate now and things like that.
But how amazing for your school to be that supportive and to the community, and that's great.
Yeah.
And for the kids.
I feel very privileged to be at the school I'm at.
Absolutely.
Your school sounds amazing.
It really is.
I think there are people that actually, don't they move to your area just to get their kids into
that school? A little bit of that. Yeah, they do actually buy houses and houses are slightly more expensive near my school.
Oh.
But it actually is a very inclusive school and
that sounds
we have like 80 different cultures at our school.
Wow.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. I've now got to go through a bunch of schools and try and find an appropriate. Apparently, high school now, at 9 months, you need to lock in high schools.
Well,
rubbish.
It depends. If you're read, like this one you're mapped for, you can get in even 10 minutes before they're supposed to start.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think that works like that in my area.
It does. If it's a government school, all government schools work like that.
Well, the primary school, and I'm government, and I'm all locked and loaded for
Maybe we need to do a whole show, Gina, on school enrollment.
Okay.
Oh, God.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Actually, we might do that. Maybe we wait until the report's released because there might be some other criteria we need to fill in there.
Yeah.
Now, thank you for joining Family Matters. Thank you again to our guests, Anna, Felicity, Joe Hurst, Judy always for the news. Thank you, team. Thank you, Beck and Clayton.
Thank you.
Always for sharing
Linesman,
yourselves.
Linesman, thank you, Ball Boys.
And next week, next Wednesday, yes, listen to The Bench with the lovely Dave and Beck to get some of the summer sports that I like.
I know.
Geeks on Saturday.
And Geeks on Saturday. And our takes on Monday night for films. Anyway, that's enough self-plugging. Up next, well, followed by woof, woof. Grrr, the bears.
Arg.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.